Hallelujah. So we are, that sounds loud, continuing our series about our identity in Christ. And the title I was sort of given and sort of chosen was Joint Heirs with Christ. So the title of this morning's sermon is Joint Heirs with Christ, .. That'll keep your attention, won't it? At least that one. What does that mean? So joint heirs, there's a fly in here. Can you see them? Joint heirs with Christ, .. And I was told that I went on a little bit long last time I spoke. So in closing, if you'd like to turn to Galatians chapter 4. You know, I think sometimes as preachers, speakers, teachers, and as a congregation and as the church, sometimes what we've done, you know, the word, we're supposed to make disciples, and you know, that's a big job, isn't it, to disciple each other. And the big part of that word in the Greek is to make learners. And it seems to me sometimes what we've done, instead of making learners, we've made the learned. And what I don't want to do today is necessarily make you the learned. I want to make you learners by inspiration, really. And I want to feed you till you're hungry, if that's not a contradiction in terms. What we don't need is fat fledglings, do we? We need to be regal eagles, if you like, hungry and adventurous and inspired and learners who, like the Berean Christians, will go and seek to see if those things be true, rather than just fill up. Nothing wrong with good thought, theology or good doctrine, but it's about having a passion and a hunger for righteousness. Right. Who is embodied, or what is embodied in a man called Jesus Christ. Amen. So, you know, I really want to feed you till you're hungry. When I was in Kingsway for whatever years, the person whose ministry I sat under said, the best ministry you can have is a trigger ministry. You know, I thought, what does that mean? She said, really, it's to trigger people off. It's to say something that makes their minds, their hearts jump, if you like. Mm-hmm. Like Mary going to see Elizabeth, carrying that Christ on the inside, and the baby John leaped because there was just something there. And sometimes we want to fill every gap. And when we're either ministering or preaching or doing whatever. But you know what? Holy Spirit wants to hover and brood over each one of us so that we discover our own territory. We discover our own land. So in discovering of that, not just being told of it, we then can possess it and own it. It is ours, because then we've in some way paid the price. Sorry, I waffle slightly. So I want to fill you till you're hungry. Feed you till you're hungry today. Galatians 4. We're looking at joint heirs with Christ, .. And reading from verse 4. But when the proper time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born subject to the regulations of the law, to purchase the freedom, to ransom, to redeem, to atone for those who were subject to the law, that we might be adopted and have sonship conferred upon us, and be recognized as God's sons. And because you really, I'm reading from the Amplified, because you really are his sons, God has sent his Holy Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, a bondservant, but a son. And if a son, then it follows that you are an heir by the aid of God through Christ. You know, I'm really conscious that in this series, every time we do a sermon, you know, Adrienne said it the other week that she went off and explored her topic and had to cut it down with a machete probably. There was so much in it. And again, I find myself on my bed over the last couple of days, weeks, just going off on tangents, gazillions of tangents. Just looking at this whole thing of adoption. You know, we could talk about adoption, what that means. We could talk about sonship. But today we just want to concentrate on being joint heirs with Christ. Adopted. It says we are adopted. You know, that means I don't want to offend anybody, but I've heard evangelists in the past rub their hands and say, we have no rights, brother, except that to go to hell. Well, I disagree. Once you're a citizen of heaven, once you're adopted into the family, we have all rights and privileges of sonship. We have all the family rights, the family privileges, and the family responsibilities of being sons and daughters of the King of Kings. That's quite good, isn't it? And yeah, thanks, Dave. You know, wherever I preach, I'm taking Dave with me. And then it goes on and it says, that we might be adopted and have sonship conferred upon us. I love that. You know, I just feel quite relaxed in that. I'm quite, that's nice, isn't it? I don't have to earn my sonship. You don't have to earn your position. You know, we can relax into this sonship. It's been conferred upon us. It's been conferred upon you. It is a fact. We are sons. We are the kids of the King. We've been adopted and it's been conferred upon us. There's something quite legal about that. Not something quite legal, something quite very legal about that. It's been conferred upon us in the heavenly realm that you, we need to get aggressive sometimes, don't we? That you, by right, by holy, godly, eternal El Shaddai decree, are a son of God. It's been conferred upon us. We didn't earn it. We didn't study for it. We didn't purchase it. We just receive it and acknowledge it and don't shy away from it and grow in the reality of it. But then it says something interesting in the Amplified. It says, so we are adopted. We have sonship conferred upon us. And we are recognized as God's sons. That's an interesting one, isn't it? I wonder what your posture in the heavenlies has been like this week. We are recognized as sons of God by heaven. You know, we could just throw that magic boomerang and let everything just stand still. The psalmist kept saying, Selah, didn't he? Just stop and think about that. We could be here for days, couldn't we? Just thinking about some of these truths. We are recognized as God's sons by heaven. Creation groans. There's a sermon in itself. It's on tippy toes. Just waiting for the sons of God to be revealed, to be manifest on earth. All creation recognizes our sonship. The demons recognize our sonship. In Acts 19, I think it is, somebody tried to cast out a demon and the demon says, Jesus I know and Paul I know. Who are you? Yeah. Sometimes people get scared about that and we want to hide. Well, I don't really want the devil to know me. You know, but that's not the safest place to be. The safest place to be is to be recognized as a, come on, loosen your, get into your son's skin, so to speak, and stand and say, listen, I'm a son of God. I'm a son of God. The demons recognize it. They didn't recognize this guy and they mauled him. Not us. Because we're recognized as sons of God. But I wonder how that manifests this week. I've thought about this often. You know, I was going to pretend that I'd overheard the elders and leaders and they were going to buy a God scan. And what it is, basically, as you come through the first door, there's a scanner. And there's a telly this side of the other door. And all the elders and leaders get there. And when you come in on a Sunday morning, it actually does a God scan. How you've been this week. How you've manifest your sonship. Are you glad there's not such a thing? You know, I was thinking of Eileen. She comes in. She's got bad legs. She might be a little bit breathless. With a stick. With a stroller. But when she gets scanned on this scan, there she stands. A mean, lean fighting machine. Yeah? And there's me with my leather coat, my Bible under my arm, a bit cocky. And I wonder what that scan would show. I'm glad there's not such a scanner. But you know what? We need to recognize ourselves. We need to recognize. And in that recognition, and this series is all about us recognizing and acknowledging and knowing and confessing and stretching our godly sonship muscles and saying, we are the kids of the King. We are sons of Almighty God. We need to get that recognition. All the other stuff recognizes it, and sometimes we don't, do we? You know, sometimes it's good to remember. And if you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, please. I think sometimes it's good to remember so that we can be inspired for a better future instead of being stuck in no man's land. Ephesians 2 and verses 11 to 13. I'm reading from the Amplified because I want to inspire you to be a different you, a more fuller son and daughter of God that you are. So verse 11, it says, therefore, remember that at one time, just one time, brethren, some of us might need to hear this morning. It was one time you were Gentiles. One time, just at one time you were Gentiles, you were heathens in the flesh, called uncircumcision by those who call themselves circumcision. Itself a mere mark in the flesh made in human hands. Remember that you were at that time, which is just one time. Listen to the language in the Amplified. Please listen to this. I want you to get this. Remember, at that time, you were separated. You were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from all part in Him. Utterly estranged and outlawed from the rights of Israel as a nation, strangers with no share in the sacred compacts of the messianic promise, with no knowledge, no right in God's agreements, His covenants. You had no hope, no promise. You were in the world without God. Just imagine that. Please. Please. Just imagine that. That language is an amazing language, isn't it? So rich in a negative way. You were, let me read it again, please. It does me good. You were separated, living apart, excluded, estranged, outlawed, strangers. You had no share, no promise, no knowledge, no right, no hope, no God. That's... Verse 13, it says this, but now in Christ you who were once so far away by His blood have been brought so near. I love words. I just love words. I even love the word so. Have you ever been, come in, don't you? I'm so hungry, Mum. I'm so thirsty. I'm so tired. I'm so fed up. God so loved the world. Do you get that? We use words, don't we? God so loved the world that He gave His uttermost and His best 100%. And it says, now, you who were so far away have been brought near. I need to put a scale on this so that we get the reality of it. And... can find my verses. Being clever with marks, but they don't help. We tried to find a scale in Connect Group. We were talking about gratitude, and we started talking about the scale of sort of sin in some senses, wasn't it? You know, and how we look at Adolf Hitler, far away. Mother Teresa, not so far away. Us, middle of the road, far away. And that scale's rubbish. That scale doesn't work. When you understand the righteousness, the holiness of God, far away. I just need to rush on. Psalm 19, just write this down or listen to the podcast thingy. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows and proclaims his handiwork. Day after day pours forth speech, and night after night shows forth knowledge. God often uses the universe as an analogy, if you like, or a visual aid to speak about his glory, his goodness, his goodness. You need to get into that. Psalm 103 says this. 11 and 12, it says this. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great are his mercy and loving kindness towards those who reverently and worshipfully fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Thank you, Lord. So far. This is a proper scale. That's about 9 inches. There's the earth, and there's the sun, okay? To scale, I need to scale this for you, I think. There's the earth, and there's the sun, about 9 inches. It takes the light from the sun to travel that far, about 8 minutes. Light travels at 186,000 miles per second. That's fast. That's quick. I think angels move a little bit quicker than that, so we don't see them. That's just my theory. And they slow down to show themselves to us, right? 9 inches from the sun. It takes 8 minutes at 186,000 miles per second. 8 minutes. The sun could have exploded and we wouldn't know. Got time for a cup of coffee and an egg, basically. And then it's done. We're off. It's over. It'll get very cold very quick. Our next star is a group of stars called Alpha Centauri, our next nearest star. On that scale, 9 inches, how far do you think it is? Guess if you want. 10 feet. 40 miles! That's two stars in a galaxy of millions of stars, in a universe of millions of galaxies. So far, I can't get this over to you as much as I'd like to. We were so far, as the east is from the west. 9 inches, 40 miles. Is anybody wanting to blow a gasket right now? The distances, we do feet and inches still, don't we? Or centimeters and kilometers and... We were so far. We were so far at one time, it says, at one time, not two times, not the devil 10 times a day. You were that far away just once. I'm angry about this because some of us, the devil is telling lies too. We'll never be that far away ever again. We'll never be that far away ever again. Because he brought us so near. So near that he actually comes and lives in us and confers upon us sonship. And because we're sons, it says in the Amplified, it follows consequentially that we are joint heirs with Christ. Ping blip. Oh, there you go. Hallelujah. That's good. That's good news. I could preach myself happy on just thinking about that tomorrow morning. I was so far away, and he has brought me so near. Glory to God. Ephesians, go back to Ephesians 2 with me. So what's he done? Not just what's he done, but why's he done it? Ephesians 2, verse 6 and 7, it says this. This is... And he raised us up together with him. He has made us to sit down together, giving us joint seating with him in the heavenly sphere. By virtue of our being in Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Excuse me. Pardon me. Verse 7. He did this that he might clearly demonstrate through the ages to come Listen to the words, the immeasurable, the limitless, the surpassing riches of his free grace, his unmerited favor in his kindness and goodness of heart towards us in Christ Jesus. Thanks. It's awesome. Do you know what? The Yanks have got it. You know, I've never seen Ian Rush score an awesome goal. And he scored some good ones. I've never seen an awesome hamburger. You know, most things that we call awesome are just not awesome. But I tell you what, that is. That's awesome. That is truly awesome, church.
Yeah, thank you.
That he's done this. He has raised us up to get so far. He's raised us up together. Now we have joint seating with him. Are you comfortable? Are you comfortable where you're sitting? Are you there 24 hours a day in those heavenly places? Are you sitting with him 24 hours a day? When you're at your desk or at your sink or at your... wherever you sit or not sit. Are you with me? Are you comfortable? Do you know your seat? Do you know your place? Is it got your imprint? Like an old leather seat? Are you sitting there? Is it vacant some days, some moments, some weeks? But he did it. He's caused us to be sons. He's conferred sonship upon us. He's given us that joint seating to be joint heirs, Ping Blip, that he might clearly, that he might in you and through you, as sons, clearly demonstrate. This is amazing, you know. This is truly amazing. If we realize what we've got on the inside, who we've got on the inside, he is going to demonstrate all of this in and through you.
Thank you,
Lord. Wow. Hot dog. I could have done this joint heirs with Christ. Joint heirs with Christ and talked about our inheritance. I didn't want to do that today. I wanted to stir you up to go find out what you've got through who you are.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Oh, he wants to clearly demonstrate the immeasurable, the limitless, the surpassing riches of his free grace, his unmerited favor in his kindness and goodness of heart towards Jimmy Brown, towards Brian, towards Adrian, towards you. Through tribe, OCF, through us as a community, through us as a church. What we have is through who we are. We are joint heirs, Ping Blip, because we are sons. We've had sonship conferred upon us. And because of that, because of who we are, that's why we have what we have. The key is not finding out what we have to discover who we are. That's going to set some people free. Because your circumstances right now do not determine, or I don't recognize you as a son because of your circumstances. I recognize your sonship, God says, because I've conferred it upon you. Now, when we get to know who we are, we can change our circumstances. We can address them differently. We can know who we are, and we can demonstrate clearly that goodness of God. Right, hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and if you want to turn to it, I'll just read it and we'll see. I'm just a man with a mouth. you could flatter me there and be very encouraging, say, oh no Jim, you're much more than that, but none of you did. I'm just a man with a mouth. We so need Holy Spirit. You know, a couple of years ago, when I got saved, I got knocked off my horse, the whole nine yards of saved, speaking in tongues, baptized in the Holy Ghost, the whole stuff. So I know the Holy Spirit. It's only maybe latterly I'm beginning to know him a bit more and discover really who he is and how he moves and how he speaks and what he wants to do. And it's dead exciting, isn't it? To have fellowship with the Holy Spirit in any given circumstance, to know, you know, you don't have to close your eyes and get like that to hear him, by the way, but just doing that. And just to know in a circumstance or a situation, in work or wherever we are, just to know him. Because we are joint heirs, ping, blip. And we sow, is that word, and I can't get it any bigger than to really encourage you. We so need Holy Spirit. Honestly, I wish I could say it. I've said it, I think, in the measurement. We so need Holy Spirit to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, to continuously be filled, being filled with Holy Spirit, to practice habitually listening, acknowledging, knowing Holy Spirit. That, and we do here, I'm just encouraging you to do a bit more, a lot more. To know his leading, to know how he is, to know his feelings, so that we can go with the right feelings as well, so we can cry with those who mourn, so we can laugh with those who rejoice, so we can just be all things to all men in Holy Ghost. That's exciting as well, isn't it? And that's a possibility. It's a reality. And we need to, I believe God's saying, develop that. And if you can help me develop it, listen, big red targets, yellow, blue, you go for it. Woo. 1 Corinthians 2, 8 to 12. We are joint heirs with Christ. Ping. Lip. You know, there's a program, sorry, I've missed something else. There's a program on telly. Now, you'll only see it if you're at home in the afternoon or the mornings. Sometimes when I'm home or I've been off, I've watched it. It's called Air Hunters. Has anybody seen it? Yeah, some nods. You need to get out more. It's called Air Hunters. And it's used by the legal profession to find missing heirs or missing beneficiaries. Holy Spirit is an air hunter. Just hovering and brooding now. Looking for heirs. Looking for missing heirs. I've got missing heirs. Looking for missing heirs. Looking for missing beneficiaries. Are you with me? The legal profession. Glory to God. We so need Holy Spirit. He's hunting us. He's wanting to reveal to us the inheritance. Sometimes we're missing. I know I'm so rich. And you know what? Sometimes I spend about 30 bob of my heavenly inheritance a week. Yeah. Are you with me?
Yeah, I'm with you.
You know, I can live a bit like a poor person. I'm a Brazilian, eh? And we need Holy Spirit to reveal to us what we can benefit from. He daily loads us with benefits.
Yeah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Oh. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 8. It says, none of the rulers of this age or world perceived and recognized and understood this. For if they had, they would never have crucified the Lord of glory. But on the contrary, as the scripture says, what eye has not seen and ear has not heard and has not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared, made and keeps ready for those who love him, who hold him in affectionate reverence, promptly obeying him, gratefully recognizing the benefits he has bestowed. Yet to us, God has unveiled and revealed them by and through his Spirit. For the Holy Spirit searches diligently, exploring and examining everything, even sounding the profound and bottomless things of God, the divine counsels and things hidden beyond man's scrutiny. Verse 12, it says, now we have not received the Spirit that belongs to the world, but the Holy Spirit who is from God, given to us that we might realize, comprehend, appreciate the gifts of divine favor and blessing so freely and lavishly bestowed upon us. Woohoo! Glory to God. Yeah. Ping blip. Did you catch it?
Yes.
The Holy Spirit, it says, he searches diligently, exploring and examining everything, even sounding the profound and bottomless things of God. We are joint heirs.
Thank you, Lord.
Ping! Ping, blip. You know, there's passive sonar and there's active sonar. Passive sonar just listens for the ships. But an active sonar sends pulses out and goes looking. I want to feed you till you're hungry.
Yeah.
Oh, glory to God. We've got a Holy Ghost sonar on the inside.
Yeah.
Any circumstance, any situation, any problem, any issue, ping. There will be a blip. That sounds negative because it's like a blip on the landscape, isn't it? But there will be a sound. The Holy Spirit in your heart, in my life, is sonaring the deep and bottomless things of God for you and your circumstance right now. Ping. Blip. Are you hearing the blip? Are you hearing the ping? Do you need to be encouraged today that he's doing that?
Yeah.
That he loves you so much, you who were so far, now so near, wants to demonstrate clearly, all this goodness of heart towards you.
Thank you, Lord.
Spitting.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Is he? Isn't the gospel great?
Fantastic.
This is good news. He's just pinging all day long. he's pinging and blipping all day, and sometimes I'm just trundled along and it's like background noise, it's like white noise, ping blip ping blip ping blip ping blip ping blip ping blip. Lord, what are you saying? Speak your servant's ears. Yeah, but I've been so busy. Are you daft? Guilty as charged, church. We have such a good God who's supplied all things for life and godliness, and we miss it so many times because of what we're talking about. I'm finishing now. Whew. I fell upon this verse, and it is a sermon in itself. It's Psalm 85. And I just fell on this. God gave me. I wasn't looking for this in my study, but it really, in my opinion, fits. Psalm 85, verses 8 and 9 in the Amplified says this. It says, glory to God. I will listen expectantly to what God the Lord will say. I will listen with expectancy to what God the Lord will say. For he will speak peace to his people. That's a word for all of us, but that's a word for someone particular today. If you listen expectantly, God's not going to say, you're baddie. I'm disappointed. I'm upset. You're a rat. You're a big sinner. You're a wazik, a lummox. You're no good. You're not listening to God if you're hearing that. At all. You're hearing to a liar and an accuser of the brethren.
Right.
And he's just a horrible big fat liar. God says here, when you listen with expectancy, he will speak peace to his people. And that doesn't just mean the lack of noise or activity. It means a shalom to your heart that causes things to be whole. Nothing missing, nothing broken, he will speak peace to his people. I want to say, thus saith the Lord on that today. Yeah. Thus says the Lord, if you listen with expectancy, he will speak peace to his people. Amen. To his saints, those who are in right standing with him at one time, remembering, one time, just that one time, we were so far away, but now we're in right standing with him. But it says this, but let them not turn again to self-confident folly. Verse 9, surely his salvation is near to those who reverently and worshipfully fear him. He is ready, sorry, wipe that from the recording. Start again. Verse 9, surely his salvation is near to those who reverently and worshipfully fear him and is ready to be appropriated that the manifest presence of God, his glory, may tabernacle and abide in our land. His salvation, it says, surely his salvation is near. So far, so near, just here, inheritance on the inside. Surely his salvation is near to those who reverently and worshipfully fear him. And it is ready to be appropriated. That word appropriate means to seize as one's own. Yeah. To seize as one's own. We've had sonship conferred upon us, but we need to demonstrate that sonship by seizing, by appropriating all that God has supplied. Why? That his manifest presence and his glory may tabernacle and abide in our land. Is that good? Now, we are joint heirs with Christ. I'm convinced this year, my God wants to manifest his and tabernacle, his presence and glory in my land. It's not going to happen through osmosis. I wish it did, because, well, I could chill a little bit more and relax. You know, it's going to take us appropriating what he's supplied. Now, that might mean it's not just all spirit of God. You know, we need to put the stuff in, don't we? Yeah. We need to do what's right in the godly pursuit pie. All the segments of fellowship and prayer and worship and study and knowing our God, so that we can know who we are and what we have in him. God bless you. Thanks, David.